Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
At that time, Jesus exclaimed, "I give praise to you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to little ones. Yes, Father, such has been your glorious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. For my yoke is easy and my burden light." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
For the past 2 weeks, we've had a homily series. We've been talking about the secret prayers of the Mass, the silent prayers of the Mass. The homily series is the secret prayers. What is Father saying and why does it matter? These are the prayers specific to me. You see me mumbling them. If you need to catch up on it, if you're visiting here and you want to, on your ride home to wherever you came from, you can catch it at Tribute with the Padre, which is the podcast for where homily series are put for our parish, Tribute with the Padre. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the prayers, those silent prayers around the reading of the gospel. Last week was around the offertory, bread and wine brought forward, the preparation of the gifts at the altar. This week, we talk about the prayers, finally, our last week of the series, surrounding communion, focusing on the worthy reception of the Eucharist. So we'll go straight in. This is what the Missal says, and in the Missal in red, it says, "As the priest finishes the sign of peace, he takes the host, breaks it over the paten, and drops a small piece of it in the chalice, saying, 'May this mingling of the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ bring eternal life to us who receive it.'" So first, you've noticed probably that every priest does break a little piece of the host off and drop it in the chalice. And what is the point of that? Right? Well, it's to highlight, to symbolize to us, or to speak to us, what's called the principle of concomitance. The principle of concomitance basically is that in the host is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus, all of the Lord. And in the chalice, in the precious blood, is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus, all of the Lord. So if you receive just the host, or even if you receive just from the chalice, you're receiving all of the Eucharist, right? The principle of concomitance. So the priest does this as a symbol, right? It's all the Eucharist. It's all the Lord. So what about the words, the prayer, the actual silent prayer that I pray? Why does it matter? Well, first, I want to point out the words, bring eternal life. We said the mingling of this body and blood, may it bring us eternal life. Receiving the Eucharist worthily gives eternal life. That's the teaching of the church. It saves us. And people often ask, how is one saved? How do you get saved? Are you saved? The church's answer has always been, how do you get saved? Well, through the grace of Jesus Christ. And that grace of Jesus Christ is most assuredly given to us in the sacraments, right? It's a place we know grace is given. The love of God is given to us in the sacraments. I came up with an analogy for this, okay? Let's say you're waiting for a piece of mail. You're waiting for something. You could go to your mailbox, which is the sure and certain and easiest place to get that piece of mail. You know it's coming in the mail. Or you could get in your car and roam around town hoping to run into the mailman. Maybe you get to a street and he just turned right and you turn left, right? You see him and then all of a sudden, a red light stops you. You should have just went to the mailbox. Okay? The mailbox is the sacraments. The mail is grace. Sure, God is not bound by the sacraments. He can give grace to anyone he wants. But the most assured place to get grace is the sacraments. And so we profess from the beginning that we are saved by the grace of Jesus, and we get that grace. If you want to know you get it, you go to the sacraments. We hear Jesus say it in John chapter 6, since today's about receiving communion and those secret prayers. It says, the Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you. And when Jesus says truly, truly, you listen. Right? Anytime he said that in scripture, you're like, ooh, what is he going to say? I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Uh-oh. That's pretty important. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. The place we know we receive grace is in the Eucharist. That's why I pray, may this mingling of the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ bring eternal life to us who receive it. Eternal life is there. The next prayer. So it says, after the invocation of the Lamb of God. So the Lamb of God, right? Agnus Dei qui tollis peccata mundi. Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. We say it three times. It says, after that, the priest joins his hands and says quietly, you'll see me do it. So now you know what I'm going to be doing and what I'm saying. I say, may the receiving of your body and blood, Lord Jesus Christ, not bring me to judgment and condemnation, but through your loving mercy be for me protection in mind and body and a healing remedy. Wait a second, you might say. I thought receiving Jesus is always good, is always helpful. What happened to the eternal life? Father Brad, you said go to the mailbox. We're going to the mailbox. So why do we have to pray that receiving the Eucharist would not bring me condemnation and judgment? This question comes up particularly when it comes to what some call the closed altar. Right? They might come to church and they might say, oh, you as Catholics have a closed table or a closed altar, meaning like you, unless you are Catholic, unless you are in the state of grace, you ought not receive. If you go to a wedding, a funeral, I often announce it because I want people to know. I say, for those who are receiving, for those Catholics, and even if you're Catholic and you're not ready to receive, and you shouldn't be receiving, you can still come forward for a blessing. And very few times, but very, boisterous times, people take exception to that. They say, what are you doing? Why are you closing the altar? This is the case because Catholics believe that you must worthily receive the Eucharist. That if you're not in the state of grace and if you are not actually in communion, then receiving the Eucharist will bring what we say in that prayer, judgment and condemnation. If we worthily receive, then it brings eternal life. If we don't, it brings judgment and condemnation. It's kind of like the most powerful things in the world. What are the most powerful things in the world? We look at fire, water. In the right context, water is awesome. We're like, yeah, give me some water at 95 degrees in my pool. But coming over the levee, not in the right context, what does it do? Woo! Takes out your house. Fire. Man, campfire? Good stuff. Get some s'mores on. In your living room? Like on your couch? It burns down the house. You see how something powerful can bring eternal life? And then also, if we're not receiving it in its proper context, can actually bring us judgment and condemnation. Some will say, well, where's that in the Bible? Okay, here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Father Paul. He was a Father Paul. St. Paul says, for I receive from the Lord what I also delivered to you. So St. Paul is saying, this is not just for me. I didn't come up with it. This is what Jesus told me. That the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread, and he gives the institution narrative. So he says, this is my body. This is my blood. Do this in remembrance of me. And then St. Paul says this, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Here it is. Pay attention. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself, And so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks what? Judgment upon himself. So when the church says, we desire you to be in communion and be in the state of grace, it's not because we don't like you, it's because we love you. Why would I desire judgment and condemnation upon you if you're not ready to receive? Because receiving the Eucharist, what we do when we receive the Eucharist is we're saying with our bodies that we believe the Eucharist is Jesus, that we profess all that the Catholic Church professes, and that we are in communion with the universal church. That's what receiving the Eucharist means. It means all those things. And if we don't mean it, then actually we're eating and drinking judgment upon ourselves. If you are not and you receive, then you're lying with your body. You're saying something with your body that's not true of your soul. Came up with another analogy, okay? There's a lot of people, a lot of young adults. I find it more and more often because I do marriage preps and stuff. A lot of young adults, couples who, what I call play house. You know what play house is? Okay. Play house is like, you go to college, you graduate from college, you don't get married, but you buy a house together. You go on vacations together. You do laundry together. You cut the grass. You enmesh your finances. You do all the things couples do. You act like a one flesh union. And yet the truth is, no matter how much you play house, it's a lie. You're living out in your lives, in your body, something that's not true of your soul. And it actually hurts your soul. The analogy with the Eucharist is real, right? Because receiving the Eucharist, you're saying, I'm a one flesh union with God. And it's proclamation and belief in the church he espouses. To receive unworthily or without true communion is to lie with your body. To say, yeah, I believe this, I'm in communion. But you're not. You're just playing house. You know what I say to the couple playing house when they come to me? I say, get married. I mean, we got to figure out if you actually should get married. But like, look, just get married. That fixes it. Because then you'd be living the truth. And you know what I say to someone who is Catholic or is not Catholic, who wants to receive the Eucharist? I say, get married. You need to be Catholic? We got RCIA. Woo! We got something for you. You married outside the church? Never got married in the church? Let's do it. Get married. You need an annulment? Let's go. The answer is not just to continue to receive the Eucharist and eat and drink judgment upon yourself. Look, I don't know. I cannot possibly know where every single person's at, where every single person who comes from every single part of the country, everyone's coming down the aisle. Look, I can't know, but it's on you. Here you are. You know you. You know your life. You know where you're at. You know who you are and whose you are. What will you do? Will you say, Lord, I don't care. I don't care what your church says. I don't care what St. Paul says. I don't care what you say, Lord. Okay? But you eat and drink judgment upon yourself. What I offer you is truth. And the truth will set you free. Get married. Make it real. Make it right. We have the prescription, which leads us to the last secret prayer. What is past our lips, after this, after communion, I'm purifying the vessels, and I mumble to the Lord. I say, what is past our lips as food, O Lord, may we possess in purity of heart, that what has been given to us in time may be our healing for eternity. Make sure when you receive the Eucharist, it heals you. It does not cast judgment on you. Instead gives you eternal life. Please stand for our profession of faith.